obviously, last week was a difficult week for Kings fans. So where is this whole thing now with eight games to go as we get ready for the Kings and the Clippers tonight? Al Draper, Whitey Gleason, and look who's kind enough to join us here in the middle of his preparation for the call tonight on Sacktown Sports, the great Gary Gerald. G-Man, thanks so much for your time. Where do you think Kings fans should be here as far as optimism of finishing this season in a fashion that everyone can feel good about?
Lace him up tight, brother.
Yes.
That's about all he can say. I mean, every one of these games, we've talked about the significance, and we all knew as you get closer to the end of the regular season how every game goes under the magnifying glass. It seems like the intensity level grows, and each and every one of these nights is just so big. And the reality is, right now, that, you know, the fact of Sacramento making the top six, I'd say, is minimal. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a realist. You look at the strength of schedule, you look what's coming up, but you got to find a way. And it doesn't make any difference who's in uniform. And I know coaches preach about the next man up and one thing or another, but I don't know. You come and you say, all right, give us a good competitive effort. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think I am in terms of, you know, let's not climb on that roller coaster anymore, and where the dramatic highs and the dramatic lows.
Right.
Just be competitive, man. Play with a sense of urgency that this situation, this scenario demands.
G-Man, the great G-Man, joining us here on The Drive, guys. G-Man, in doing your research for tonight, what stands out to you about this matchup with the Clippers?
Well, I think that, I mean, it's hard to read this team. You know, they had such a great stretch from December through January where, yeah, I think they went, I don't know, 21-6 or something like,
yeah,
that. But it was, you know, they were terrific. They looked like they were going to be the team to emerge out of the West. And they got things, you know, starting to get in sync with the great talent that they have on that roster. And then they took a dip. And during that dip was the Kings' win in Los Angeles,
yeah,
which was a decisive victory for Sacramento. So if I'm Ty Lue in this ball club, I think they're feeling better about themselves because they've won three in a row. But I'm thinking back, I don't, you know, guys have a memory. They remember, yeah, when they got stung on their home floor, mm-hmm, and they heard the Light the Beam chants and all of that business in L.A. And I think they'll be coming out trying to make a statement tonight, even though they're not going to have Kyrie. Kawhi,
yeah.
I got my K's crossed here.
Well, that was, yeah, wishful thinking. You're just wishing that Kyrie had not been here last week, right?
I wish it would have been Kyrie instead of Luka that fell on Malik Monk. Maybe,
right, yeah, he might be good to go.
He might be in uniform tonight.
Yeah. Obviously, it's probably unrealistic to think of any one guy filling that offensive void that's created with Malik gone, but wouldn't you think that Keegan's going to have opportunities now to increase the offensive contributions?
Well, I was encouraged, you know, despite the fact you're playing a Utah team that was severely depleted. They were without three of their marquee players two nights ago in this building. But the way the Kings responded, the production you got from both Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray, I thought were huge, mm, in determining the outcome of that game. And now you can't be a one-trick pony. You've got to find a way to bring that on a consistent basis. And one of the stats guys on social media had a great stat the other night. Deuce Mason picked up on it, and I quickly made a note of it, that when Keegan and HB each score 15 or more points in a game, the Kings are 9-0.
Ooh.
So, you know, get them involved. Get them feeling confident. I loved it the other night. I mean, between them, they shot great percentage. They had 10 threes between them. That's what it's going to take on a nightly basis, you know, in addition to your great efforts from Sabonis and Fox and you know, defensive stuff from Keon Ellis and everybody else. It's everybody has got to find a way to just tick it up a notch.
Yeah.
It might be 3%. It might be 5%. It might be 15%. I don't know. I don't know how you measure things like that. But everybody has got to pull together, and you've got to find a way to try to enforce your will and make that other team respond.
G-Man, with Trey Lyles and Sasha Vazenko, how much are you expecting from them this final stretch, eight games? How important are those two guys?
Well, I think they're hugely important. They give you a little more size. They give you some scoring ability in a time when, you know, you're missing a lot of points between Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. And so I'm encouraged from what I saw the other night. I expected a little more rust.
Yeah.
And I thought Trey in particular had a nice balanced contribution. And if he can knock down those corner threes, if he can still attack and get to the basket, which was, I think, is one of the big tests after you've had a sprained ligament in your knee. I thought he passed with flying colors the other night. Now, I haven't talked with him since. I don't know if there have been any soreness or repercussions, but that was encouraging.
Mm-hmm. G-Man, just one more. I know you got a lot to do. We appreciate your time, but one more, if I may. Get
sure.
back to your first point that you made about how hard the Kings have to play. You know, Mike Brown has been preaching this physicality. I think they've been playing more physically on defense since the officials have allowed more of that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the best path forward here these last eight games. The Kings have to really embrace that role of being a scrappy team that no matter what is going to play harder than the other team. Easier said than done, but I think that's what they have to become.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the indicators, you know, when you see if it's a Keegan Murray, and I've seen it a couple of times recently, if it's a Keon Ellis, if it's a Trey Lyles, when they're making head-first dives on the floor for a 50-50 ball, that tells me they're engaged and they're on the right track. And I can live with the result as long as you get that kind of effort. And you try to get it as close to 48 minutes as possible. And one of the things, and I've said this countless times over the years, that always fascinated me about the greats. And it didn't make any difference if it was Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. They find a way to motivate themselves as close to 82 times a season as possible. They find ways to get angry.
Yep.
And they let that impact their performance. And that's what great players do. And the Kings have to have a little slice of that in their inner being. And I think if they do that and they can be competitive, maybe they can surprise some of these teams. Because there's nothing easy about the fact tonight with the Clippers. And then you got a horrific back-to-back, New York and Boston. And then you come back and you catch Brooklyn. And Brooklyn's kind of an up-and-down team. They're a lot like the Kings have been so many times this year. You really don't know what you're getting on a nightly basis. You finish the trip in Oklahoma City, and we all know what the Thunder have done. Amazing job by Mark Daigneault and that crew. As young as they are, to play as well as they're playing, I've been so impressed. Then you come home for three that includes a back-to-back with New Orleans, who's just dominant.
All right, G-Man, you're killing me, G-Man.
And then you get Phoenix for a fifth time this season.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Oh, man.
So
that's
why I say lace them up tight.
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have a good call today, G-Man. Thank
you, guys.
Yeah. Always a distinct pleasure to talk to the great Gary Jones. Hey, he's a realist like you.
He's
a
realist.
Exactly.
We've got to call it like we see it. It's going to be a tough road to hoe for the Sacramento Kings. Can they win a bunch of these games? Yes. But, you know, they got a ring. You notice I didn't say all of them.
There's one
that I'm just like, I just can't see it. But, you know, I got them at 6-2. Worst 5-3. It's possible with this team. And like I said earlier, you got to beat the Pelicans. You got to beat the Suns. You could beat this Clippers team tonight. I know they got some star power. I know they've won three in a row. But you could beat them. The Kings have beaten them before.
I don't know why. No, I expect them to win tonight, and I don't know why, but I do.
Right.
I really don't know why. Maybe it's just, you know, that's the way this year has been all year long. The way this year has been, if you go by that, they end up playing really well here down the stretch.
Yeah.
You know, just when you give up on them or you think, well, it's just too much to ask, then they start reeling off wins.
Right, and, you know, I know with the Malik injury, but we haven't seen this team really with Sasha and Trey Lyles. You know, how much can those guys give Mike Brown over these last eight games? You know, who's going to step up? You know, Sasha, before he went out, you know, he was showing some flashes. I thought he played well the other night against Utah as well. And so as much as we're going to miss Malik, yes, there's still some talent on this team, and we just don't know how they're going to perform. That's the only thing. They could beat OKC. They could beat the Pelicans. You know, if they play their game and if we get contributions. And tonight, like we said before, you mentioned it earlier, we'll learn a lot tonight about this team and how this season is going to shake out over the last eight games.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how fans respond tonight. Kings fans are always, you know, second to none. This year, there have been a lot of instances. We all understand it. We've all felt it where the Kings have been disappointing, and the fans have let them know that. But I think now at this point, everyone recognizes the kind of all-hands-on-deck mentality that's necessary.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if Kings fans bring it, if they even bring a little extra. It's not expected, you know, because they're always the best fans in the league. But I'm interested and excited to see how fans respond tonight, because we have a genuine underdog now the rest of the way that really needs all the help they can
get. Yeah, we need the fan base to lift this team up now.
Yeah,
to, you know, give them some energy. And don't be front runners tonight. You know what I mean? Don't only cheer when things are going good, you know. Cheer when, you know, all right, Clippers are on a 6-0 run. All right, let's pump it up. Let's go, guys, you know. We need a big defensive stop. Let's go. Get this crowd into it tonight.
Do you think – I know we touched on this yesterday. Do you think the last 8 games here give the Kings potentially a head start on what next season could be like without Malik? I know that's down the list of things you're looking at.
Maybe, but we don't know what moves Monty's going to make. I don't – you know, it could be, yes. It might not be. What if he makes some trades?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if they get another free agent? I just don't know. And so
I think it is. Just as far as a guy like Davion, for example, specifically him and maybe even Duarte. You know, it's a chance for – Davion's a sixth man now, right? Here and or Lyles.
Yep.
So, I mean, if he plays really well down the stretch, that would go a long ways towards – convincing the front office this offseason that, all right, this is a guy that has a future here. Maybe we're not sure exactly what it is, but he could definitely cement a role for this team going forward, I think.
Yeah, I think a number of guys have something to prove over the
– Yeah.
Our guy Keon Ellis.
Yes,
I think still has some things that he can prove. Like, he could solidify himself in the rotation going into next season, you know, as a possible starter even next season. Davion, like you mentioned, what about Sasha?
I think
Sasha has some things to prove. We have not seen the best of him this season. And so I think a number of guys outside of our top three have something to prove tonight. Mm-hmm.
So then again, it gets back to the big two. Do we really need Domas to score more? And is that realistic?
Mm. Yes, it is, Whitey, because I got the numbers right here. You know, you bring that up. And here's the thing about Domas.
Is it going to be him? Is he going to have to do that? Or are they going to have to look for him more? How do you go about that?
I think that the attempts are there for him to take. It's not like they got to run more stuff for him or anything like that. Here's what's interesting about Domas. Over the last 20 games since the All-Star break, 18.2 points per game, 55% from the field, 29% from three. In the 54 games before the All-Star break, 20.1 points per game, 62%, 43% from
43%.
Three. And then yesterday, I brought up the stat about, I forget it was his last five or whatever it was, where he was only averaging 14 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be right around 20 or more, I think, for this team. I mean, it's there for him. Same thing with Keegan. You know, in the flow of the offense, we're looking for Keegan to be more aggressive. I need Doma. Dude. He took 12 shots, and I know it was a blowout win against Utah. 12 shots in the first half against Utah, 2 the second half. That's not going to cut it. Mm-hmm. That's not. I need a more balanced DeMontis Sabonis.
And what do we need from De'Aaron Fox? De'Aaron Fox needs to score, and he needs to be efficient. You know, I hear people talking about, well, they need this many points from De'Aaron.
Right.
Yeah. With De'Aaron, it's all about the efficiency.
When he's
scoring efficiently,
yeah,
he gives a team a huge boost. When he's having one of those nights where, you know, like in Washington, 10 for 30, yeah, he's scoring a lot of points, but ultimately it doesn't help you that
much. It's not that efficient. You know what I need De'Aaron to be? And I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to put it on the bottom shelf for everybody out there. You don't have to reach high to understand this one. I need De'Aaron to be a top two player any night he takes the floor. So, for instance.
Top two
on the floor that night.
Mm-hmm.
So, him and Paul George got to duke it out. Him and Jalen Brunson got to duke it out. Him and Tatum got to, like, you can't have De'Aaron Fox be the third or fourth best player on the floor. You have zero chance to win, in my opinion, in that way. I go back to the Mavericks game on Friday. 23 points, solid. But Kyrie and Luka controlled that game. De'Aaron was a glorified role player in that game. He cannot be that. He has to be one of the top two impactful players on the floor for this team.
We don't know how healthy he is. It looks like he's recovered from whatever was bothering him in terms of his shoulder earlier in the year. But getting back to what G-Man just told us, great players do this. They find a way. Isn't this an opportunity right now for De'Aaron Fox to show his teammates, fans, the basketball world that, you know what, I am good enough to carry this team the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know,
this
the
is
thing
a chance
about,
for him to it, prove it his greatness. Chance.
But I don't think De'Aaron feels that kind of pressure or that kind of vibe. Like, you know, I have to prove myself.
He but just, you know, when he gets angry, it's not like he feels pressure. Like, there's a certain type of expectation that he thrives on.
Right. But, and we've seen it in nationally televised big time matchups.
Yeah.
See Jalen Brunson come Thursday. Tonight, it'll be interesting, you know, because, and G-Man just talked about using motivation. What's his carrot tonight? Like, what's his motivation tactic tonight? Is it James Harden? I want to light him up. Is it the standings? Is it playing at home? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is to get De'Aaron Fox motivated, we need to use it. And so I could see him being motivated playing at Madison Square Garden on Thursday, wanting to put on the show. But what do you do tonight? What do you do Sunday against Brooklyn? Those, what do you do Friday in Boston against your boy Tatum? Like, that's what I'm saying, man. He got to bring it.
Mm-hmm. You know what is a treat tonight for anybody who's here, anybody watching also? We have two guys in this game tonight. I'm not a big fan of one of them, but I appreciate the fact that he plays so hard. In Domas and Westbrook, I don't think we'll ever find in the history of the game two guys that night in, night out play any hard.
Lay it on the line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook is incredible. I don't think I'd ever want him on my team because he's so stubborn offensively,
right.
But man, does he set a tone for you with his effort.
Yeah, he does, and he's fitting perfectly with this Clippers team. And let me tell you a quick Westbrook story. As he was out there warming up, I don't know if you saw this, Whitey, there was a special needs kid sitting there with a Wizards Westbrook jersey on, and Russell Westbrook spent some time with
really?
This kid on the court.
Uh-huh.
Took some pictures, and then I watched the kid afterwards, and the kid ran up to his dad and gave him a double high five. Like, he made his day. And so those are some of the things we don't see from these athletes. We see Westbrook engaging with a fan, arguing about the fan, you know, calling him out his name. But, you know, he does a lot of things behind the scenes, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope he does things behind the scenes tonight and not
out
here
on the court, right?
on the floor, because that's the last thing the Kings need
tonight. I got something for you, though. And let me I want your opinion on this. This is from the text line, 916. If the Kings need Sasha to contribute big, then they have some serious problems. He played well on his stint, but he was at the five, and his defense was horrible during that stretch. You believe in that? You, if we need something from Sasha, then things went terribly wrong when we got some serious problems? I mean, we already do have serious problems. We're without Malik and Kevin Huerter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they needed something big from him, all right, maybe I'm taking that too literally. But, yeah, okay, I get your point. But there's still an opportunity for him to give them things that would be like a bonus.
Yeah.
They're not sitting there going, if we don't get anything from Sasha, we're doomed. But there's still an opportunity for him to be one of those guys that helps fill that Malikless void now.
Yeah.
That's all.
Right.
And no one is sitting there going, oh, we Sasha's got to save us, or we're
right,
that's it.
Right.
Exactly. It's all over.
Yeah. And then somebody from the 7-0, Sasha's got to be the next Malik. No, he doesn't.
He's not going to be.
Not. If that's what we need, then we're in trouble. Like, he doesn't have – he just has to be a contributor. He can't be a zero when he's out there on the floor.
The whole thing with him, and I don't know how much of him you saw before he came over. I saw, like, that one – they lost that European League championship.
Yeah.
I get confused because there's so many tournaments
so many,
and championships,
yeah.
You know. But he clearly was, like, the guy on – what was the team, Path that's
yes.
The team. That's the one. And it's like he's clearly one of their guys. And here you can see this is a smart basketball player, and he's trying to figure out the best way to fit in.
Right.
And so it's hard for a guy who's doing that to have that big of an impact unless everything he shoots is going in. That's still where he is.
Yeah.
If everything he shoots goes in, it's like, wow, you had a good game. Other than that, he's still figuring out how to contribute.
Yeah, I think so. And he's still getting adjusted. And, you know.
That's it.
Right. And it's crazy because we know he's a dead-eye shooter. We know that. I think he's the kind of guy that just needs minutes, Whitey. He's not – I don't think he's a Vinnie Johnson, put him in two minutes and he's going to light it. I think he needs time to go up and down the court get comfortable out there and work his way into a game. So I'd like to see Mike extend his minutes a little bit here over these last eight games.
What do you think of him defensively? He's been on the floor so seldomly, it's hard to say. The commenter said he's been terrible. I think he's been maybe a little better than I've given him credit for, but
yeah.
That's why I questioned bringing him over in the first place is because he's not a great defender.
Yeah, but, you know, the effort is there with him. That's one thing I will say about Sasha. The effort is there. You know, he had a couple of deflections last game. He wants to do the right thing. It's not like he's not trying out there. And is he a defensive stopper? Maybe not. But I think he can improve in that area. I really do.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Drape's on the call tonight. Do you know what your community of choice is going to be tonight? Sasha hits one from the logo.
Let me see.
He hit that from.
I might do a Lodi tonight. My fine people out in Lodi. I'm giving y'all a shout-out right now. I might do Lodi. Maybe Stockton. You know, those are my people down in Stockton.
Yeah.
I might do that. Somewhere in that area. Maybe a Galt reference or something like that.
You don't really know, do you? It's just going to happen.
It really just happens, like, spur of the moment. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, spur of the moment.
Yeah.
So.
What about pace-wise? We anticipating a little up-and-down contest tonight?
That's
the type of thing you got to prepare for, right?
Yeah, I think so. Up-and-down pace, especially against these old guys. You know, it's funny. In doing the research, these are, you know, one of the two teams with no players under the age of 21. Let me double check that stat. This is crazy. Like, you know, the Clippers, we know, are an aging team.
Yeah.
But all 36 players are over the age of 21.
Wow.
There are only eight teams in the league without a player under 21. Denver, Golden State, Pelicans, Knicks, Philly, Phoenix, and these two. So these are two. I mean, the Kings are still relatively young, but you're not going to see any 19-year-olds out there tonight or 20-year-olds. These are, you know, little older teams going at it.
You've been following the NBA a long time. How much stock, if any, do we put into how guys shooting and warm up?
You know, I'm glad you said that because I was just thinking this. I'm of the belief the worse he looks in warm ups, the better he's going to be in the game.
Really?
Yes.
Because Sasha's on fire right now.
Oh, darn. Well, scratch that. He's going to be great in the game. But I think
he's missed maybe one shot. Look at that.
You know, I liken it to my golf game. I'm first team all range, but then when I get out on the course, I'm crappy, you know? And so I don't put a whole lot of stock into it. Let me just say that.
What do you think of his shoes, by the way, the red shoes he's got now?
I like that.
Yeah.
He's out for blood.
Uh-huh.
He's out for blood tonight.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Look at that.
High Flyer made it on time today, big fella. Show started at game starts at 7 today, not like Sunday against the Utah Jazz. Sunday was tight. I heard even Whitey had to fill in a segment.
Happy to do it. You've helped us out many times, Flyer. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being with us. It's an exciting night. Looking forward to this one tonight. That's going to do it for the Drive, guys. Back with you tomorrow. We've got Drape's Takes tomorrow,
Drape's
right?
Drape's Takes tomorrow,
yeah.
Baby. Yes, sir.
And stick around for game night. Jason Ross, I believe, running point tonight with, of course, the High Flyer. That's next right here on Sactown Sports.